We want to open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll do a little bit of reviewing before we get into that passage. As we taught last week, that we were going to exegete that passage, like we exegeted the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 last week. This basically has to do with, we're going to study what that Bible actually says, what it teaches us, rather than giving some kind of thought what we want to put into it, whether it is actually what that passage means or not. That is called eisegete. So we don't eisegete here. We exegete the Word of God. We study it, brought in by the Word of God, because that's what the Bible tells us that we have to do. We can compare spiritual things with spiritual things. We look at the Scriptures and we make sure that we have what exactly the Bible teaches. It's so easy to pull a Scripture out of context. And because you pull it out of context, what happens is people get carried away with what their belief is, and they go down the wrong way. It doesn't please God. It may lead to some good things, profitable things, but that doesn't mean that it pleases God. And so, theologically, people get these ideas, certain ideas in their mind, that they've taken out of context, and they live their life based on that, what they believe is a true principle. But when you put together what the Bible teaches about a subject, then you see that, maybe I was wrong here. At least you ought to be willing to see if you were wrong, because it's easy to be led about, especially if a person doesn't believe in a local church. If they're not strong local church oriented, they go straight in different errors. That's a reality. When I could look at some of our universities in America, the very first, I believe it was the 117 universities that were started in America, the very first ones, mind you, of 117 of them, they were all started to train missionaries, to train pastors, to train people in the Word of God. Big places such as Stanford, Princeton, those big universities were to train preachers to preach the Word of God. And are they a such thing now? No, not on your life. And they give a little bit here, they give a little bit there. They think they're on the right track, they do the right thing, believe the right thing, and before you know it, they're in a situation that they're anti-God now. And so believers will do the same thing. Believers will hear something or think something, maybe even get a bee in their bonnet, and so they don't come to church, and they don't think they need church, and so they just skip out on church, and because they got this idea that the church is old, it's not necessarily part of our growth and so forth. And so because they get off on that, they're in error in that area, they're out on their own, and they get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, the cunningness of man, and they follow those things, and they become AWOL in God's army, absent without leave. But they think that they're right. And so in the area of spiritual gifts, we have a big problem in the world, and we see this in Australia, we see this in our community. We see some of the churches that are prospering, the big churches that are prospering. Those are charismatic churches who believe in all these spiritual gifts. And a lot of hoopla, a lot of sensationalism. As you drive down Ullman Road, you'll see, actually it's called Morrifield Road. It's actually that Kingdom Culture Church. Charismatic church to the hill, and they come in there and they have their services, and they have on their website pictures of their services on their website, and they have people there. It's packed with people, and it's in that church. It's packed with people, a lot of young people, especially young adults and so forth, and they look like anything you could think of you could look like in there, and they welcome anybody and everybody, and they let anybody and everybody be a part of their worship service. When I say anybody and everybody, you can't be a homosexual and serve God. You can't be a lesbian and serve God. It doesn't mix. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that a person who practices homosexuality and lesbianism, they're not a believer. But you know what? They're believers who actually think that they can be believers. And that completely violates what the Word of God says. And so they take anybody and everybody. And when you go there, they show these pictures with the lights, what do you call that thing? The light show. That's a good word. just a light show with their singing. They got their group up there, kind of like Hillsong. And they're just charismatic, and they believe in all these gifts, the faith healing and the speaking in tongues and anything and everything goes, and miracles and so on. And they believe that they're right with God. And there are Christians also, like you and I, who think that that is all right. They got their own belief, and that's all right. But that's even wrong to think that. It's not okay that they have their own belief and believe those things. It's wrong to believe those things. Yeah, they have their right, the liberty to believe those things, but it doesn't make it right. And so, if we don't hold to the Word of God, we don't stick to the Word of God, and let the Word of God dictate to us what we're to believe, then we will go off in errors. And so in this area of spiritual gifts, a lot of Christians don't know what their spiritual gift is. They aren't taught that they ought to have a spiritual gift. They don't know what that spiritual gift is. And so therefore they don't use their spiritual gift. And the Bible tells us that we are stewards, aren't we? Doesn't it say that? The Bible tells us that we are stewards. And as a steward, we're supposed to be faithful to God. Now a steward is someone who's been entrusted with something from another person and to manage those things. So we are entrusted with the Word of God. The Bible says we are the pillar and ground of truth. So this living organism here, we are entrusted with the Word of God. We are the pillar and ground of truth. Truth ought to be magnified here, and this ought to be a part of our life, and we ought to live this thing and be able to disseminate these truths. And so if we are that way, and we are entrusted with this, we are supposed to handle it properly. And then we have our own bodies, the body that God has created or given to us, and we have now been bought with the price. We are Christ, and we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. So we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to God. And so what he's given to us, good health or whatever health we have, good finances or whatever finances we have, whether he's given us good jobs or whether we don't have good jobs, whatever our situation is, we have been entrusted with this situation, and God expects us to handle this thing in a way that honors God. And many people don't do that in the way that honors God. And one of the things that we fail in is the matter of spiritual gifts. We ask the question, how many of us do know what our spiritual gift is? And we have to say, we're not really sure, at the very least. And if we're not very sure, there's reasons why we're not very sure. One of the biggest reasons why we're not very sure is because it hasn't been taught in churches all around wherever we may have been. And another thing is, too, we don't study the Word of God as we ought to study the Word of God. We're not talking about just reading it. We're just talking about studying the Word of God. We ought to give ourselves to reading. The Bible teaches that. We should read this and be faithful at that and know what God wants us to do because we are His. And so we should learn these things, study, read. But how often do we take that seriously? And then when it comes to the matter of spiritual gifts especially, have we studied that? And if I must ask the question today, did you this past week ask God to help you to know what your spiritual gift is? Did you even pray that one time this week? God, would you help me to understand what my spiritual gift is? And see, we are stewards of a gift he's given to us. How much do we really want God to rule in our life? How much have we really entrusted his word, entrusted him, leaning on him in faith and say, God, I'm going to be a good steward of the gift you've given to me. I don't know what it is, but will you help me? Will you guide me through your truth and help the spirit, have the Spirit of God to help me to know what my spiritual gift is? And will you put forth the effort to read and study on it? See, this is all part of stewardship. Stewardship isn't just about our finances, where we're just going to give our 10% or whatever we're going to do, maybe an offering every now and then, and that's stewardship. I did what I ought to do according to the Bible. No, that's only part of it. It's what we know and how we live it out. It has to do with our attitudes. It has to do with taking care of our bodies. It has to do with doing those simple things that we know we ought to do. It has to do with living certain principles. I use that golden rule one, for instance. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Yeah, we ought to be that way, in the way that honors God. And so we do these things, but do we do anything about our spiritual gift? Because God has given to each one of us a spiritual gift, and he has placed us together as an organism, as well as an organization, and we are supposed to develop that and to use it in the building up of the local assembly of believers. And if you don't know what your gift is, how can you use that to build up the body of Christ here. Does it, that make sense, right? It does. So, we studied this spiritual gifts out, and we talked about last week. We did some review there to bring us up to understand where we're going at in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to bring us up to Romans chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and bring us up to Romans chapter 12 and help us to understand more about that part. And so, some of the things that I want to do, look at Romans 12. We'll start out in verse 1 and 2. Okay, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So Paul is pleading, he's begging. That's what he's, that word beseeches. I'm begging you by the mercies of God. Look, God has been so merciful to you, Romans. So I'm begging with you, I'm pleading with you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is just being on the right down the very bottom here. This is just reasonable. This isn't trying to get you to go above and beyond. This is just a reasonable service, Paul is saying to the Romans. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So in this passage, what we see is the list of gifts that Paul is wanting the Romans to understand about. In the church at Corinth, they had a lot of problems. They didn't understand all these gifts, and they confused the matter because they took, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they talked about, there are these three different words that we studied. We talked about them, and we helped understand what they were. We talked about the word diversities of gifts, and there's differences in administrations, and there are differences in operations. And that was verses 4 through 6 of chapter 12. And Paul said in verse 1 that he didn't want them to be ignorant of these things. And so he explains those three words. The gifts, there's a different word for each one of these things. Gifts was charismaton. And then administrations is diakonion. And the operations are energeimaton. Energeimaton. So there's gifts, administrations, and operations. The problem comes in when people confuse and combine those administrations and operations with gifts. And we saw that there's a difference between those. The gifts are those seven that we just read through in Romans chapter 12. The administration was found back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28 through 30, and also Ephesians 4, verse 11. Those were administrations. Those administrations are ministries. We get this word of deacons or ministries from this diaconian word. And so these are the ministries that you're able to use your gift in. You're able to exercise your gift in. Like in Ephesians 4:11, he gave pastors, he gave apostles and prophets. Those are ministries. They had a ministry of teaching the word of God, using their gift of teaching. All right, so there's a difference between it. And people will take those verses and say that these are spiritual gifts as well. But they're not. Those are ministry opportunities. And so these are ministry opportunities that are in the local church that help maintain the unity of the church. And Paul was concerned about that among the Corinthians in verse 24 and 25. But then the operations has to do with energies. We get that word energy from this word. And we see here that it's the Spirit of God working in that person, enabling them to use their gift in a ministry position. And so what you see when a person is gifted in teaching, they have a gift of teaching, and they're exercising that gift in teaching, you are seeing the Spirit manifesting himself in that individual to minister to the unity of the church. You see that? And so there's a difference between these three, but a lot of people get that confused. They combine those last two with gifts, and they're wrong for doing that. So if the believer is charged, as we know, Timothy noted this, that neglect not the gift that is in you, then if we're to neglect not the gift that is in us, how can we fulfill that if we don't even know what his gift is? If we don't know what our gift is, how can we fulfill that, not neglecting that gift that God's given to us? Well, so we're neglecting the gift that God's given to us if we don't know what it is. And therefore, we're not using it. We did mention this, that we ought not to have this gift serving by default, as it were. By default. In other words, well, I don't know what my gift is, but I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do in the church. Whatever the pastor asks me to do, I'm going to just do what the pastor wants me to do. And that would be kind of serving by default. And you may be fulfilling or doing a part of your spiritual gift. But it shouldn't be by default. It ought to be by design. Because God designed you and I to have a gift and to use that gift in the body of Christ. So we should discover what that is and develop it and use that in our church. And we're not going to be able to use that. We probably won't even find it, discover it, if we're not serving. You know, I didn't know what my spiritual gift was for a long time because I didn't know about it. But I'll tell you what I do know that in my life as a believer, when God saved me, whatever the pastor wanted me to do, or whatever was going on in the church, whatever I could participate in, I did it. I went out with a single man knocking on doors. I went out with the church on visitation and visiting people that way. I had gone out, worked with the ages 4 through 8. I worked in the nursery. I worked with the teenagers, did the team leader, and I worked with the older people. I've gone to the nursing homes. I've taught new Christian classes. I've had other discipleship classes. I've taught heaps of things and taught adult Sunday school classes. I've preached in many churches. And so I'm telling you this, that whatever was available for me, the opportunity was there, I jumped at it. But that doesn't mean I was exercising the spiritual gift that God had given to me. But as doing these things, I've been able to easier discover what my spiritual gift is. And so I use that spiritual gift to the ministry of the church and to the unifying of this body. And because God designed me to do that. And so I work hard at doing that. And so I shouldn't have learned it by default or doing it by default. But you're going to learn your gift. You're going to gravitate more so to your spiritual gift. You're actually serving God because we are called to serve from day one. So we all ought to be involved in serving and in building up the church here. Now, in Romans chapter 12 here, we're going to break this down. We're going to notice a flow. I've already read part of what we wanted to read. We'll continue reading the rest whenever I get to that point. But I wanted just to note some things in these verses. To break down Romans chapter 12, it'll be breaking down Romans chapter 12 verses 1 through 15. And you see a flow of this passage. And so in verses 1 and 2, read here, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you notice the word ye there is very personal. So this would have to do with there's a need for personal service. Just as a need for personal salvation, you have to have a personal relationship with Christ. There's this personal need for service that we have to be partaking of. We have to participate in service. And so we see this starting out. Look how it flows down in verses 3 through 5. And this has to do with where you actually have this service. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we talked last week, and other times as well, we showed very clearly how that the local, visible, immersionist church is the local body of Christ. We saw very clearly that the body in Christ and the church are one and the same. And so he identifies the local church as the body of Christ. And so we talked about Bible theology there. And we see how the body, our bodies have many members, but we're one body. Every member has a function in it. And so is the church, which is the body of Christ, a living organism. This body of Christ has individual members here. We have a function in the body of Christ. And that was the analogy here. So the place of service for your gift is in the local assembly of believers, the body of Christ. And then it keeps on going through verses 6 through 8. And he talks about those gifts. We named those, but we'll read them again. Those gifts, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to me, whether prophecy, that's number one, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, number two, let us wait on the ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So there are seven gifts that are used for personal service within this local assembly of believers. And then, verse 9 through 15, he kind of gives us like an orderly description of the characteristics of those gifts we just read. So this orderly explanation or expansion of what those gifts are, he says this: let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So if we were to take just these verses alone, it's kind of like the character of the gift. The character of those gifts. And I'll just give you a couple of examples of those characters, the characteristics of each of those gifts. But next week what we'll do, we'll go into the individual gifts and start studying it, and we will help us to see some Bible example, some individuals in the church who may have had that particular gift, and we'll see how it can be related in the church. We can see some of the strengths of them, and we can also see some of the weaknesses with an individual who has a particular gift. I think it's important we see these things from not only from what we discover in the Word of God, but even by watching Christians living out their gift, you see certain characteristics, certain behaviors that stand out. And so, for example, when we look at 10b, it seems to be describing ministry, where it says, in honor preferring one another. So when we talk about honor preferring one another, what does that mean, preferring one another? It has to do with going before or setting an example to one another in courtesy, kindness, and respect. It's treating others better than yourself. And it's, you're going to do things that would actually benefit them more than it would benefit you. You look for their edification. And when it comes to sometimes what people do is, in people who get recognized for something. Say Helga gets recognized for a certain quality in her life. Say Helga is very merciful. Say that was her gift of mercy. And someone is in conversation with other people, and they say that Helga, she's such a merciful person. It's wonderful to be around her. We love her. And someone who doesn't have that gift of mercy, they would be more of a person who is a loudmouth, more like someone who has the gift of prophecy. A gift of prophecy, we're going to study that. But in any case, I'm just trying to make a contrast here, a comparison, where somebody is talking, and then they get, they're not like that, but she's getting all this glory and credit for doing such and such to help and such, but this person doesn't. So they get this little envy in there, and they didn't like that because they're getting glory, and I'm not getting glory. And so a person who has a gift of ministry, you'll find them, as that word comes through the dust, diakonia, through the dust, someone who has a heart for just serving others, they don't need any glory. They don't want any credit. They just love giving of themselves to others, and they love the blessing it is to those people, the effect that it has on people, and the effect it has on the church. So, a person who's like that, though, can get a lot of praise and so forth, because they're just following what their biblical or their spiritual gift is of giving. You find people in the Roman culture who are actually humble and are willing to serve people and treat others better than themselves. That was a weakness for the Romans. Power is what the Romans were known for, and they had that. So to have the gift of ministry amongst the Romans would have been a sign of weakness. But it's just the idea of preferring having to do with go before, leading, setting an example. It's showing mutual respect and honor. They were striving to excel in this area, not so that they could obtain honor, but what they could actually confer honor on someone else. So this is just one of the facets of someone who shows the gift or exhibits the gift of ministry. So they should, in honor, prefer one of them. So you see, that portion can go along with what the gift of ministry is. And then another one, verse 12. When we talked about the person who has, in verse 8, the gift of exhortation, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So when a person who has this gift of exhortation, you can see they ought to be characterized by rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant prayer. This is the kind of person who encourages somebody, who can always, if you will, look on the bright side of things, look on the positive side of things. They're not negative and self-destructive and going alongside somebody that is struggling and all, because somebody did that wrong, you ought to do something about that. You know, that's not right, and da 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 da. But trying to encourage them to live above that and rejoice in hope, giving people hope. A lot of people just don't know how to give anybody hope. One of the things that I find in the Bible, and this has always amused me, and I used it several times. You know, remember when Jesus was healing people? He could speak to the blind and heal them. He could do whatever he wants, and it'll happen. And remember, he had one person. He took some spittle and took some mud there, and he put that on that person's eyes. That'd have been a hard thing. What are you doing that for? But anyway, he put that on that person's eyes, and he said, "Now go wash yourself." He come back, and he said, "What do you see?" He says, "I see ministries." Well, did Jesus make a mistake here? Did he lose his power all of a sudden? Did he didn't heal this blind man wholly? Why do you think that Jesus did that to that blind man? The really only the practical thing that I can think of is that he did that to give that blind man hope. It was a hopeless case. He never saw him. And so told him to go do these things. And he goes out and does those things in faith, just trusting that this is, Jesus said to do it, I'll do that, and he come back seeing. But he came back seeing, and he didn't have his full vision. He says, I see men as trees. And see, I believe that that gave that man hope. And we know the story, he ended up seeing. And so believers, a person who has the gift of exhortation, he's the kind of person who will give a person hope in their terrible circumstances that they might find themselves in. And they can rejoice in that, there's an expected end here. God has something good for you throughout all this. Patient in the tribulation. Someone who is the gift of exhortation will work through these things patiently. You got to give time for certain things. And we're, God's not finished. We haven't seen the end of the story. And this would also be based on a continuing instant in prayer. They would be a person who would pray for people. So you see how we're just kind of going through a couple of these verses here to show that this is kind of characteristic of people who have those certain gifts. Another one, look at verse 13. When he says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Who would you think that this would, or what gift do you think this would be characteristic of? Someone who is distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality is taking, in that day, taking in strangers and housing them, feeding them, and having them given up to go on to the, continue their journey. So they're giving of themselves, and they are given to the necessity of the saints. So what gift do you think that is characteristic of? I gave the answer.
Hospitality.
Giving? Yeah, it's giving. All right. So, yeah, it's giving. There may be some traces of other gifts in there, but we can certainly see it has to do with giving more so than anything. A person who might be showing mercy, they may be one who's very compassionate, and they may give of themselves to that person, giving to those who have a need. So you see they're going to overlap. Ministry, serving to the need of these strangers who come along, giving them a place to stay overnight, and giving them a good feed and help them get on their journey for the next day or whenever. So you see the gifts seem to overlap, but when we have a specific gift, such as giving, this verse seems to expand on or give a characteristic of someone who is a giver, who has the spiritual gift of giving. How about another one where it says, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. This has to do with showing empathy, showing mercy. So we can see that he kind of expands those things, and we're going to look at those verses, and we're going to apply those to the seven gifts when we talk about some of the characteristics of individuals who may have a particular gift when we go through these things. So all this here has to do with, as we work through this, we see a flow, and the last part I want us to get a hold of is this, verse 16. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but kindly send them in of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So the purpose of this is a personal appeal in chapter 12 to individual service to the Lord, given a spiritual gift, and exercising that spiritual gift in the church. It'll be manifested in certain ways, and it is for the unity of the local assembly. We shouldn't all be doing our own thing. I know that Luke or Gordon don't appreciate their leg being somewhere else doing something that it's not intended to do. Hey, Karen? No. So that has disrupted the unity of their bodies, the functioning properly in their bodies, their handicap that they have to overcome these continuous handicaps. And so it is with the body of Christ, the local assembly of believers. There are people who have their own ideas about things and are going to go their way, and they're disconnected from the body, though they're attending, serving, or doing something within the body, there is a disconnection because they're not fulfilling their function, their gift in the assembly. And so the church is not able to have the unity that God wants it to have and to be able to function as a body with Christ as our head. Remember, we are a living organism. Christ is the head of this body. We are an organization. We do have leadership. We do have governing principles that help us. We do have offices in the church here. We have these things, but that's just to help us organize and to keep unity within the body. If we didn't have a living organism, all we would be is a religious organization. And it doesn't matter if somebody goes off and does whatever they want to do. It doesn't affect our organization, because our organization is just an organization. But we're not just an organization. We are a living organism, beloved. And so it's important that we understand what our gift is. And so I made mention last week to help people along the way to be studying the scriptures and to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth concerning your gift. And we ought to be serving in the assembly. You'll be able to discover your gift a whole lot better and sooner as you're serving within the body of Christ here. And so you ought to be able to consider and focus on one of those gifts. There's overlaps, yes, but you're going to eventually gravitate to one spiritual gift. And beloved, when we use our one spiritual gift, continuing on serving in the different capacities and with the virtues that we ought to have, we'll find that God will use our church in a more effective way amongst ourselves, and we'll have a better impact in our own spirit circles wherever we're at, as well as this community. And what church wouldn't want that? Sometimes we really deprive ourselves of the blessing of God in our life because of some foundational truth. And it's easy to look at what we have in our own assembly here, and we could pick on some things. We could see some faults. We could see some things that may not be the way we would have them to be. But if we're going to focus on those only, we're never going to be where God wants us to be. But when we focus on the things that God is doing here and seeing how He's using these things in people's lives and people exercising their gifts or possibly what their gift may be, it will encourage you to give more to the Lord and consider what God would have you to do. But that's the reality. This happens out in the world. I guess it's just a note for proof of that point. And I say this, one reason why I say this is because the world looks at what's going on in America with Donald Trump as the president, as he's doing a terrible job. That's what they see. They're looking for all sorts of fault. They find fault with his wife. They find fault with his son. He can't do anything right. That's the reality. That's how the media is. But when you look at the facts, the numbers in the first year, you will see reality. You will see that he has made an impact greater than many of the presidents have done in many, 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 many years in the first year. And I can tell you the New York Stock Exchange and Wall Street, if you will, and some of the other places where people have investments in stocks and that stuff, they have been smashing their records week after week, week after week. Profits galore. Billions of dollars have actually been able to be made because of his tax reformation package. And there are groups who are focusing on the negative things of that and saying that he's making the rich richer. But they're not looking at the fact that the unemployment rate has dropped down below lower than it has been in 17 years. There's 111 corporations that have announced bonuses and pay increases for the employees. They have brought back more businesses from overseas into America, and they're bringing more into America, which means more jobs for people, which means income, which less people depending on the government for sustenance, which the other group that was in put more people on the welfare system than we've had in all the history of America. We can talk about I can go on and on and on and on. The list goes on. But the world seems to focus on the negative things because they have a different agenda. And beloved, we can focus on the negative things and it'll affect us adversely. But if we focus on the things that God is doing in each one of our lives and be willing to submit to God with what He's entrusted us with, we'll find that we'll be blessed immensely. We are blessed immensely. So how will we go this week? Will you seek? You see what your gift focus is. And as we go into next week and we start studying each one of these gifts, starting out with prophecy, when you ask God to help you know what your gift is, not just to help you know what your gift is, but to be able to develop that gift, give you opportunities to develop that gift and to use that gift in the service of the Lord. When you do that, will I be genuine and sincere and seeking God's will to use me in this place that He uses us in? Yeah, I could look at it in one way, and some people could look at it in some ways and say that, you get paid for what you do, so you have to do these things. These are your responsibilities. And I say, well, that's really hogwash, because I don't get paid to do this. Everybody knows that, I'm just saying these things. I don't get paid to do these things. I do these things, and God sustains us with people who have a burden for us to stay here in Australia and to do these things that I do, but I do this out of service to the Lord and service to our church here and in service to the community. And you can't pay it enough for that. Have I ever been tempted to stop with the ministry? Come on. Huh?
Every Monday morning.
Every Monday morning. It does come down on me. Yes, I have been tempted. There have been times where I attempted to just quit it and go back into business. And you've learned a lot down through the years, and you've been blessed and all these things, but it's too hard, and you do struggle at times. Why don't you just go back and do your job again, do the home improvements, and this time make all the money that you want to make and don't have to struggle with any finances and things. Okay. Well, I'm going to go and do that, then. I'll be far better off for it. I do think it's like that. But I don't give it much serious thought, okay? But you know how the devil does. He comes over here and whispers these things in your ear, just like you talk to a new Christian. Oh, you're not saved. You know, you don't have the kind of testimony that someone's going to have. Or, oh, if you were saved, you wouldn't do something like that. Yeah, so he just tells you these things. God wants us to use our gift in this local assembly for us, yes, but it's all for His glory. And beloved, we have so much going for us. God is very good to us. You look down at the world, and the world is in such turmoil. The communities around us are in such turmoil. I do some walking at nighttime, and what I hear coming out of homes at night times, it's so sad and breaks my heart because of the trouble that so many families are suffering with, just in my neighborhood over there. So that's just a small part. It's loads of people all over the place. And we have such great hope in Christ. He makes a difference. So let's pray and ask God to help us to make a difference. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. And we'll just have a time of prayer, okay, here? Think about these things. Study the scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth concerning your gift. And seek to serve the Lord within the church here and be useful for Him. Try to discover what that one gift is. Look, if you don't know, that's fine. You don't know. I didn't know for so many years, but we worked at it, continued on serving God with every capacity, and as we were serving, we were discovering clear what my gift was, and so we deployed that gift, and we're happy with it. There's such peace and contentment. So why would I want to leave? But in any case, here we see God will bless you for it. Bless you in a great way with something that the world can't take away with distribution. And that is a peace. And there's a love there that God gives you. And the joy in being able to do what His will is that you would never have elsewhere. So I like preparing just to play an invitation hymn, just one stanza of an invitation hymn. And then we'll just have our heads bowed and closed and just have to talk to the Lord, okay?
she's not feeling well. What was that? That procedure? She's coming off. She came off one medicine altogether, I believe it was. The doctor said that may happen. She's had several seizures since she came off that medicine on a few days ago. So it happened 2 nights ago, and I don't know what might have happened yesterday. But so continue to pray for Jackie. It's nothing that they can control. These things happening. And, didn't know if you noticed that support was happening back there. I just kept on going. We knew it was going to be better. So that's been dealt with. All right, so let's have a word of prayer with Jackie, and then I'll have Karen play that song, and we'll sing that song as we're picking ourselves up and getting ready to leave. How about that? Okay. All right, so let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for the Bible. Thank you for your goodness. We do pray for Jackie as she's going through this struggle. Not just Jackie physically, emotionally. I pray you'd undertake it with her. And thank you that she has confidence in you. And Lord, she's dependent on you. And I pray that you use these doctors and medications to help stabilize her life. Help her move as well as she take on board many other things that they normally wouldn't do. But help the children too. Give them grace and understanding. And they be a blessing to the family and during these times especially. Thank you for these children there and love them. So I pray you'd undertake now this afternoon as we'll be out and about. May you have to wait as we go throughout the day and be able to be back in church on the course day here this evening. So we pray support with you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you can stand up and just have a song.